This is People in the Know, a weekday forum for in-depth coverage of the news shaping China, the world, and your life. Now here's your host, Zheng Chengwang.
The resentment toward fat cat pay now seems to be not only confined to the American society. The Swiss will vote in March on a popular federal referendum to combat exorbitant salaries. The Minder Initiative, named after its initiator and a current member of the Council of States, Thomas Minder, proposes 24 constitutional articles for restricting the bonuses and the salaries of members at the top management echelon of Swiss-listed companies. The Federal Council and the Parliament are making an indirect counterproposal to the Minder Initiative if the referendum fails. The counterproposal includes some 80% of provision in the Minder Initiative, but also targets a wider spectrum of non-listed companies. So, what is the popular sentiment toward the Minder Initiative in Switzerland, and how about the level of executive pay in China? Ni hao, you're listening to People in the Know, bringing you insights into the headline news in China and around the world. I'm Zheng Chengguan in Beijing. First, on the Swiss scene, we speak with Peter Kunz, professor for business law and for comparative law at the University of Bern Law School in Switzerland. Professor Kunz, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, many complaints have been raised about the level of executive pay. Many people say that it is disproportionate to the performance of the company and is thus both unfair and excessive. Of course, not everyone agrees with this assessment. So why is it that executives often receive such high pay? And in your opinion, are such high levels of compensation fair?
Well, let me start at the end of your question. Personally, I do not think that today's very high levels of compensation are really fair or justified. In the end, managers' compensations reflect the collective work result of all employees, and it's not really correct to compensate as if only the managers are responsible for profits, for instance. Mm. On the other side, all compensations are within the laws, and legality is what counts when it comes to corporations. When you ask about the reason why are these compensations so high, I think there might be a simple explanation for that. There is a market for managers and board members. If a company today is not willing to pay the compensation, the managers just leave. There is no real loyalty left in today's business world. Therefore, I think competition and market lead to these high compensations.
Mm. In Switzerland, polls as recently as January showed that around 65% of Swiss voters support Swiss MP and small businessman Thomas Minder's initiative to institute binding shareholder votes on executive pay, as well as putting a ban on such practices as golden handshakes for new hires. This is a very high level of public support for the initiative. How likely do you think that it is that the initiative will be passed on March the 3rd?
Switzerland is a country where people like and enjoy many freedoms, but I think that over the last few years, many people get angry about the greed of some public corporations managers. And I think that many people really want to send a signal, enough is enough. So I would say today, less than a week before the referendum, it is really very likely that Swiss people will say yes to this popular initiative of Mr. Minder. And if that is the case, Switzerland will adopt the strictest corporation law worldwide.
Pharmaceutical company Novartis recently decided against paying its outgoing chairman Daniel Fessler over 70 million Swiss francs in exchange for not accepting a job with the company's rivals. What do you make of this decision made in the face of growing public outcry in Switzerland over large executive payments?
Interestingly, from the information available, in my view, the contract with Mr. Vassella was, at least on the legal aspects, correct in accordance with Swiss law. Of course, not everything legal is also justified. Mm. And therefore, I was not surprised that the contract did not survive. The public outcry, and in particular the pressure by highest politicians in Switzerland, even two members of the government were involved, was simply too much for Mr. Vassella and Novartis. And I guess that Mr. Vasella really also cares about his legacy as the builder of Novartis, and he simply tried to save his reputation. Nevertheless, I think this reversal of Novartis and Mr. Vasella was at least too late regarding the popular initiative of Mr. Mindo, and I think we even could say that Mr. Vasella became the most important campaigner for Mr. Mindo's initiative.
Mm. On the other hand, within the Swiss business community, many people have raised the concern that the acceptance of Mindo initiative may hurt Swiss competitiveness, making it more difficult to attract talented managers. Do you think that this will be the case?
I have to disclose, I am biased for this question because 6 weeks ago I published a study mandated by the business association Economie Suisse, which came to exactly this very result. But yes, I personally, I think it's a reasonable fear that Swiss competitiveness might be hurt by this very strict and inflexible new Swiss corporation law. However, I do not fear that Swiss companies will leave Switzerland. Such a move would be very costly and is rather complicated and also risks the reputation of corporation. But I fear on one side the difficulty to attract international talented managers, primarily because the initiative calls for strict criminal prosecution in connection with compensation in issues. In addition, I also fear that foreign corporations searching a new domicile in Central Europe will simply choose Germany and Austria instead of Switzerland.
Concerns have also been raised by some observers that Mindo's initiative goes too far, and even the Swiss government seems to agree to some extent. The parliament has accepted a counter-proposal that will be enacted automatically if the referendum doesn't pass. And this proposal will force all companies to allow shareholders a say in executive payment. But the votes will be non-binding. What do you make of this proposal? Does it go far enough?
I'm sorry, but I am biased again because I was also advising the Swiss government for this counter-proposal, which comprises international developments without isolating Switzerland. In my opinion, Switzerland in any case needs to adopt a so-called say-on-pay rule. This is, I would say, international standard. We see it, for example, in the United Kingdom, in the USA, in Germany, and in Australia. Interestingly, it's not the case in Austria. However, not a single country worldwide adopted a binding say-on-pay rule. So I think Switzerland would be the first country. And I think it's not necessary because we have studies in UK and in the USA which prove and show that even non-binding say-on-pay votes by the shareholders have a preventive element in them. So personally, I hope that the counter-proposal will become a Swiss law in the future.
Mm. The executives that ranked as the highest earners in Switzerland in 2011 were all foreigners. What do you make of this trend? Do you think that the Mindo initiative will have an effect on this trend if this referendum passes?
Well, I think high earners in Switzerland do not depend on nationality. For example, Mr. Vasella of Novartis and Mr. Kielholz of Swiss Re are Swiss citizens. On the other side, Mr. Dugan of Credit Suisse and Mr. Brabeck of Nestle are foreign citizens, and they are very high earners. But in fact, Swiss public companies are dominated by foreigners for the last few years. This is true for boards, for management, and also for shareholders. And I think this is okay because Switzerland businesses are international and global. So this has nothing to do really with being Swiss citizen or foreigner.
Complaints about the unusually high executive pay have been heard for years, especially after the financial crisis. Do you think that the increasingly powerful campaign to curb excessive pay among executives around the world have been prompted solely by the global financial crisis that started from 2007? Was this a tipping point?
Definitely it was a tipping point. In fact, the financial crisis some years ago was a major factor for the public outcries, not only in Switzerland, but worldwide, in particular when it came to the bank and insurance company sectors. Mm-hmm. I think people, a media and also politicians might tolerate compensation with high levels in a case of a business success story. Yet it becomes really intolerable if companies are involved which needed state support and therefore taxpayers' monies to survive. I think the financial crisis was really a tipping point. This is also, I think, something I would like to add. Most people don't have really a problem with high earners, if you like. But the problem is with entrepreneurs, that's fine. For instance, if an entrepreneur is successful, we applaud. It is different, of course, with managers who do not risk their own money, but the monies of shareholders. I think managers are compensated often without a lot of financial risks, not only in the banking industry, but this really is a problem for most people who say they don't take risk, they only take salaries and compensations.
Right. Excessive executive pays have prompted a lot of campaigns in the Western world. For instance, corporate excesses was at the heart of the Occupy Wall Street that took hold in the US in 2011. And also the large payments often awarded to top executives came under fire in the UK. What do you think of increasing occurrence of such movements globally? Do you think that this is just the start of the backlash against fat cat pay around the world?
In my view, the so-called Occupy Wall Street movements, there was also one in Switzerland, are clearly overestimated. They might often be a good media story for some days. People think that's nice to have them. But in the end, in particular in Switzerland, this movement had no effect whatsoever. And I do not see it changing in the future, because change needs a certain structure. And in particular, these informal movements lack such a structure. However, besides of that, media and politicians, of course, become more aware of the fat cats issue, which is very popular. Consequently, the issue is today in the spotlight, but I think it will remain in the spotlight for the years to come. However, Switzerland probably is the only country worldwide where the people, the population of Switzerland, has a say. And I think this is a nice element of Switzerland being the oldest democracy of the world.
So, based on your observation, do you think that this act will be passed in the referendum on March the 3rd?
I think the referendum will be adopted, and afterwards there will be a lot of discussion and struggle going on in Swiss Parliament about how to execute, because the initiative of Mr. Minder is popular, but from a legal standpoint, it's very, very unclear. So no one really knows what the end result will be. Of course, the people around Mr. Minder have a clear impression what the future law should be. On the other side, from a legal standpoint, that's not as clear. And so I expect a lot of political wrangling in the next 2-3 years.
That was Professor Dr. Peter Kuntz, full tenure professor for business law and for comparative law at the University of Bern Law School in Switzerland. Professor Kuntz, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Our discussion continues after a short break.
What's happening in China now?
Change world factory model into a domestic demand-driven economic growth.
Only by finding correct development model can a country achieve millennium development goals.
What's happening around the world?
Going to the moon is only a preliminary step.
About one-third of people who've been through a disaster say they believe they got something good out of it.
People in the Know is China's only English current affair interview program. Each weekday, we bring you in-depth discussions featuring events that shape not only China, but the world as well. We are online at crienglish.com, cribeyondbeijing.com, and here on China Radio International. You can listen to our show on your mobile by logging on to m.cri.cn. Join people in the know, your window into the world around you.
Nihao, you are listening to People in the Know. bring you insights into the headline news in China and around the world. I'm Zhen Chengguan in Beijing. In today's program, we're taking a look at Swiss voting on executive payment. Next, from the Chinese side, we speak to Professor Zhou Chunsheng at the Cheng Kung Graduate School of Business in China. Professor Zhou, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
In recent years, especially after the financial crisis, we've seen many complaints have been raised that the level of executive pay is disproportionate to the performance of the company and is thus both unfair and excessive. This is the case in the US and in European countries. But of course, not everyone agrees with this assessment. So why is it that executives often receive such high pay and, in your opinion, are such high levels of compensation fair?
Okay, you know, the problem is not only concerned with, you know, how much the pay these executives get. It's also concerned with the method they are paid. I agree with, you know, the common judgment that, you know, many Wall Street people, you know, financial executives are overpaid, and their salary and bonus mechanism also encourage them to take too much risks. That's why I think that the reform needs to be enforced.
Mm. How about the general situation of executive pay here in China? Does China also follow this trend of comparatively high levels of compensation for executives?
In the financial industry in China, executives are also paid very well, but of course, their salaries and bonuses are much lower than their international counterparts. So even though, you know, there are some complaints about, you know, the high payment to the bankers, to the securities companies, but in China, the payment to executives in the financial industry is not too high to be accepted. But I still think, you know, it's a little bit high for them. For example, you know, some commercial banks, their executives can easily get more than 10 million RMB for their salaries and add everything up. You know, many people can possibly make more than 10 million.
Mm. Right. Another country right now in the spotlight on the issue of executive pay is Switzerland. The country is known for being a well-off country whose citizens are among the wealthiest in the world. But the country is now also voting whether it should pass what it calls a Minder initiative, which is designed to curb excessive pay of top executives in the country. This being the case, why do you think that people are turning against high executive payment from Switzerland to the United States?
Of course, any measures, you know, taken by the government have pros and cons. Of course, many people will think that, okay, it makes sense that for the government in Switzerland or in the United States or in many other countries to take some, you know, actions to cover the excessive payments to, like, financial industry executives. But other people may argue that, okay, if Switzerland does this, Switzerland may lose talents to other countries, for example, the United States, because in the United States and in many other countries, salaries in the financial industry are not restricted by the government. Of course, in the era of globalization, talented people can move very easily from this country to another one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's why some people are concerned about this. They're think that, okay, if the government do this too restrictively, many talented people may leave Switzerland for other countries.
Okay. Mm. How do you look at some concerns which are being raised by the business community that the acceptance of measures like the Minder Initiative, which is designed to curb excessive pay, will hurt a country's competitiveness, making it more difficult to attract talented managers? Do you think that this is a reasonable fear?
I think this is reasonable. You know, as I just mentioned, any measures have advantages but also have disadvantages. We may also argue that, okay, salaries should not be set up by, for example, government agencies. It's not the government's business, some people say, because the companies, the board members can decide what payments are suitable or not, rather than the government agencies to do this. I think, you know, the arguments make some sense, but right now, many countries, you know, many governments try to limit the payments to the top executives in the financial industry, because, you know, there are so many people feel that, okay, the payments to the financial industry executives are just too high, and the payments have caused some damages to the economic system, because this kind of payments encourage them to take too much risks, you know, as I mentioned earlier, and may hurt the proper functioning of the financial industry.
It is reported that the executives that are ranked as the highest earners in Switzerland in 2011 were all foreigners. How about the situation in China? Do foreigners also tend to be the highest earners in China?
Right now, there are many foreigners working in China, but I don't know whether they are all foreigners who made, you know, the highest salaries. I guess some financial companies try to attract the talents, like from the Wall Street, you know, from the United States, from European countries. They may pay very high salaries to the people because for the competitiveness.
Right. Before the referendum, which is to be held in Switzerland on this Mainland initiative, polls have already indicated that around 65% of Swiss voters support this move. This is very high public support. So, based on your observation, how likely do you think that this initiative will be passed in the referendum on March the 3rd? And do you think that this referendum in Switzerland will inspire other countries to move to limit fat cat pay around the world?
I think that it's very likely that the referendum will be passed based on the information you have mentioned. And the practice of the Switzerland may encourage other government, other countries to take the same measures. Actually, as we know that, you know, a few years ago, right after the financial crisis, you know, Barack Obama in the United States, you know, tried to do the same thing, to limit the payments to the Wall Street executives. Of course, many of his proposals were strongly opposed by the Wall Street people. And so Obama didn't do much. You know, I hope that the government of Switzerland will succeed, and other countries can follow, and this may help the financial industry to improve the corporate governance.
Lastly, Professor Zhou, we understand that we also heard a lot of complaints in China about the skyrocketingly high executive pay, especially in some of the state-owned enterprises. Is there a mechanism there to determine the actual level of payment for these top executives in China?
Actually, in China, the situation is much more complicated, because the executives of state-owned enterprises, you know, SOEs in China, in most cases, are not selected by shareholders. They are appointed by the government agency, by the Communist Party. So many people think that, well, they can get the positions because of, for example, their connections. Or sometimes they may think that, okay, many Chinese SOEs, you know, are the monopolies in their industries, for example, PetroChina or China Mobile or large banks, you know. We all know that banks in China have made tons of money in the past several years. If they can get like a 5% or even, you know, 2% for bonus, you know, there will be a lot of money. A lot of people think that, well, other people can be the presidents of these banks as well and do possibly even better, because you have no mechanism to check whether they are the most suitable persons for their positions.
Right. That was Professor Zhou Chunsheng, professor of Cheng Kung Graduate School of Business, talking about executive pay. Professor Zhou, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
Fat cat pay has become a destabilizing social factor in many countries. It must be limited so as to promote social and income equity. Questions or comments for us can be sent to pik@cri.com.cn. For program producers Xu Yang, Chen Cong, Chen Xiaming, and Autumn Sediga, I'm Chen Chengguan in Beijing. Join us at the same time next Monday.